Turn four, final lap.
Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Checker flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And that's right. Welcome into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am Chase McCabe, and it's presented by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue. Shop local, shop social. Appreciate them jumping on for our coverage for the first few weeks, and of course for the Daytona 500, which is where we will be next weekend. We will get into that. We'll have a lot of special coverage from the Daytona International Speedway. But first, we must discuss the Busch Light clash at the LA Coliseum. How did NASCAR do? First, let's listen to the 1 minute recap from MRN Radio as heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The 2022 NASCAR Cup Series is officially underway. Green flag is in the air at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. Chase Briscoe just pulled off the racetrack, and the race leader, Tyler Reddick, is in trouble. Reddick is off the pace and comes to a stop below the white line before you get to turn one. They waved off the restart, obviously, and they're beating and banging, and Justin Haley hammers the inside wall just past the start-finish line. He and Kyle Larson would not let go of one another, and Kyle Larson just turned left into the right side of the Justin Haley car. Haley had nowhere to go, spun and hit the inside interstate barriers.
White flag, final lap, Busch Light clash. Who's going to victory lane? Will it be Logano or will it be Kyle Busch? One final time through three, off four, checkered flag is out, and Joey Logano has done it, scoring the win.
That is how it sounded on the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR. And again, you can hear all of those races right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, including the Daytona 500 coming up next weekend. Joey Logano gets the very first victory in the next-gen car, the first victory at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. And listen, what a race. It was fun. I watched all the heat races. I watched the last chance qualifying races, which those got wild. And of course, I watched the feature. And kudos to NASCAR. Kudos to the drivers because they hit on something. I thought they got it right. And the thing that really stood out to me, and this is something we're going to talk about quite a bit today, is that the drivers were happy. The drivers were applauding NASCAR. You could tell that the drivers were like, hey, this is fun. And I wasn't sure. I don't think anybody was sure of what it was going to be like on a quarter-mile racetrack inside a stadium. This is something they don't do. I haven't raced in a stadium for a very long time. Last time was at Bowman Gray Stadium. I mean, that's obviously a famous venue, but they built a temporary racetrack. By the way, the track's already gone. They are already back to putting dirt down to put the field back in at the LA Coliseum. So the racetrack is already pulled up, which is just crazy to think about, that they spent 2 months putting this thing together and it's gone in a week. But they hit on something, and I thought it was very, very good. Joey Logano does get the win, and he talked about it with Jamie Little of Fox Sports.
I can't believe it. We're here at the LA Coliseum. We got the victory with the old Shell Penske Mustang. This is an amazing event. Congratulations, NASCAR. Such a huge step in our industry to be able to do this, put on an amazing race for everybody. I'm out of breath. I was so excited about this. It was a big win. This is big. I'm having a baby. Well, my wife's having a baby tomorrow, our third one, so pretty big weekend for us. And
a lot of applause for that. Baby number three on the way. But Joey, yesterday in practice, you guys struggled a little bit. You're learning this car. You're wrapping your arms around it. How did you step up so big, make those right adjustments, and be able to run and win here?
Yeah, Paul and Shaggy and the engineers that do a great job. The guys working on the car did an amazing job finding speed. We were slow. We were 28th or so on the board yesterday and made some good changes. Worked with our teammates, Ryan Blaney, a lot to him too, to see some of the gains they made and ultimately get the win. So I would say my buddy Hudson and Jameson and my wife Brittany, this is cool. I'm headed home there after this. So I told her, if you're having the baby, I'm just running right off the track from here. So I don't think it's happening right now, but this is special to get the first next-gen win, the first win out here in the Coliseum. It's a special one. So we're going to have some fun and celebrate it.
Woo! So Joey Logano victorious, and the good news is he did make it home Tuesday afternoon. His daughter Amelia was born, so the third child for Joey and Brittany Logano. Congratulations to them. So he was able to be there for the birth of his daughter, but quite the racing, quite the performance. And, you know, Kyle Busch led the most laps, led 64 laps on the day, and it kind of looked like it was going to be his, but late in the race. And this is what makes Joey Logano so good, is he can take care of his stuff. He can be right there in the mix all day, and then he pounces when it counts the most, and he ultimately gets the victory. And as Kyle Busch will tell you, or as he told Regan Smith of Fox Sports, that's pretty much what happened. And he used up his stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I was being perfect, doing everything I thought I needed to do, keep the tires underneath me. And when I got close, I was like, okay, now I got to try more and pounce at an opportunity. And just overheated the tires and smoked them in three laps. So that was it. Disappointing, obviously, you know, come out here, win the pole and lead laps, run up front. The finish goes green and it's not chaotic and we can't win. So that sucks, but, you know. Congratulations to my son. He won yesterday, so that's cool. I was trying to match him. He's winning more than me these days, so somebody better send him a contract.
And shout out to Brexton Busch there on getting the victory. Dad going to try and do that next weekend at the Daytona International Speedway. He's never won the 500. But that right there of Kyle Busch being in the mix, you have Kyle and Joey Logano, who are two polarizing figures in the sport, duking it out. You had, you know, some guys that were in contention early that maybe pushed it a little too much early. This is still a learning experience with this new car. Obviously, you were on a quarter mile, and there were things that you just had to be careful of. So you had Tyler Reddick that went out early that looked like he had a strong piece, and some others, some mechanical things. But overall, I mean, the new car wasn't the story, as you're going to hear as we go along. We'll hear from Steve O'Donnell here in just a little bit. But I thought that those two duking it out made it exciting. And then, you know, you thought, all right, are they going to wreck each other? Could that leave the door open for somebody else? It ultimately didn't. It was Joey Logano bringing it home. But I think you got to feel good about the racing product that you saw, that they were in a new venue. You had, I think they said 70% of the ticket sales were new NASCAR fans. So they're being exposed to good racing, you know, not a wreck fest. Because listen, for the people out there that say, oh, they go for the wrecks, it's just not true. I think that's a minority. I mean, you want to see good side-by-side racing. Do I want to see door-to-door beating and banging the donuts on the side of the car because the tire is rubbed up against the side of the car? Sure, I want to see that. I mean, but I don't want to see everybody wreck, you know, and have 25 cautions in a race. And to be completely honest with you, going into this, I was worried that's what you were going to see. I was very, very, very pleased with it, and NASCAR should be too. I mentioned, you know, somebody else trying to, you know, get the victory. Austin Dillon has a strong run in the RCR number three. He came home third and talked to Fox.
Man, I don't know. From where we were last night, took a lot of crazy faith, a little prayer last night, talked to myself. We got it together today, though, man. The True Velocity Chevrolet was really fast in practice. I just struggled a little bit qualifying. I knew we'd get in the race, we're going to be fine. The long run speed was there. I'm disappointed I couldn't get to those next two cars. I was really wanting to get there, but all in all, great race from where we were last night. And everybody back home at RCR, good job. It was a good showing for us.
Austin Dillon's going to be somebody that I'm going to pay attention to. Him and Tyler Reddick with Richard Childress Racing. It's no secret that RCR hasn't been the same for a long time. They obviously had the six championships with Dale Earnhardt Sr. Kevin Harvick takes over that car, the 29. They have success. They're contending for championships. But they really haven't been that top-tier team that they once were for a while. And I'm curious of, with this new car, how is that going to help them along? Because I believe that, you know, Austin Dillon is a talented driver. I think Tyler Reddick is very talented. They've hit on something with him. It's just going to it's been taking a little bit of time, but I mean, he's come close to victory, and you can tell that it's kind of like Chase Elliott. It's starting to get to him a little bit, but you know, hopefully that's some motivation. But I think that this new car is going to help that organization out immensely as they move forward. But you had that, you had a little drama. Eric Jones, Ryan Blaney kind of got together, and obviously we're not happy with one another. Jones ends up finishing fourth. And, of course, Regan Smith asked him about the running with Blaney.
Yeah, I was racing with him there, and then he brake checked me off of four, and it's like, okay, you know, no real reason. So I didn't appreciate that and felt like I showed it on the track. So, you know, we have a conversation. I mean, it's an exhibition race, and we're out here doing what we can. And I was frustrated with the move that he made, so that's what happened. But overall, I thought the focus factor, Chevy, was really good. You know, just a good weekend to come home fourth for us. We're just talking, you know, it's not a race that means a lot as far as setups for the rest of the season, but nobody came out here not trying. So feels good to run good and hopefully carry that momentum to Daytona.
So there you go. I think it's no secret that everybody was trying. Even though this was an exhibition race, they were trying for sure. They wanted to be able to say that they were the first, that they won the thing. And, you know, ultimately it was Joey Logano that was able to say that. I mean, he is the one that can say that he won the Busch Clash at the LA Coliseum, you know, because I think they're going to go back. We're going to discuss that coming up next. But, you know, if they don't, then, you know, he can say he won the race there. And obviously he won the race, the first race in the next gen car. So Joey Logano gets the win. Kyle Busch second, Austin Dillon third, Eric Jones fourth, Kyle Larson, the defending Cup Series champion, is fifth, William Byron is sixth, Cole Custer seventh, nice run for him, Christopher Bell eighth, AJ Allmendinger ninth, Kevin Harvick rounding out the top 10. Chase Elliott came home 11th, Harrison Burton, the rookie, 12th, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 13th, Daniel Suarez, 14th, Martin Truex Jr. rounds out the top 15. So there you go. That is the top 15, and you had Tyler Reddick with some issues, Denny Hamlin with some issues, Briscoe with some issues. So that's how it all went down. But I think ultimately you have to feel good about this race. And Steve O'Donnell, who we have had on this show several times, senior executive vice president of NASCAR and competition, was pleased.
Applauding, you know, Ben and really taking a chance, and Patrick and the team for putting this together. You know, we looked at a number of different venues. Ben and I went on a few road trips. And I think, you know, Ben's work getting here with USC, who was a terrific host for us, and just seeing the industry not only come together but have fun. And when you look at this next-gen car and all the pressure that was on really the entire industry and all the long hours coming into this, you know, I think a lot of us in the industry forgot that we're in a pretty cool sport, and it is fun to be a part of. And, you know, this event delivered, and I think it delivered on that. You saw it in the drivers, the industry, saw it with a lot of folks in the media even, which was cool. So I think a lot of folks had fun. We're going to learn. You know, the next-gen car wasn't really a story, and I'm happy for that. You know, we wanted to come out here. This is probably the toughest test we could have on the track that we set up in terms of durability, beating and banging, driveline, different things. So we'll learn from that. But all in all, a really successful debut for the car as well.
The event delivered. That is the phrase that everyone needs to hang on to, and it's the truth. I'm going to tell you why I believe that. Up next here on Chasing Checkers, and a reminder, Austin Cindric, the driver of the number 2, is going to join us at 8:30 today. It's all presented by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue. Shop local, shop social on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Chasing Checkers rolling right along here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Chase McCabe. Coming up next week, we'll be live at the Daytona International Speedway. We'll have a special Saturday edition from 9 to 11, our old time slot, at 9 o'clock on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and then a two-hour Daytona 500 edition, 8 to 11 on Sunday, as well as some special coverage sprinkled throughout. So you will hear a lot of extra programming surrounding Chasing Checkers next week from the Daytona International Speedway. Coming up at about 8:30 this morning, Austin Cindric, the driver of the number 2 Penske Ford, the rookie in the Cup Series, is going to join the show. We're scheduled to have AJ Allmendinger on with us next week as well as a lot of other special guests coming up from the track. But putting a bow on things with the Clash from the LA Coliseum, it worked. It worked. That is the words that everybody should say, that it worked. And Steve O'Donnell said in our last segment, you know, how pleased he was with it, that everything really shined. And that shows you just where NASCAR is, that, you know, we've talked about this, that they're willing to try new things, and trying the new ideas, I think, is smart. Some of those ideas aren't going to work, but they don't just do something on a whim. They have put a lot of thought, a lot of research into it, and the ultimate result was you had fans that were entertained both at the Coliseum and on television. You know, the ratings were through the roof for, you know, for this, for where NASCAR's been the last few years. If you look at the ratings for the Busch Light Clash, a 2.3, 4.28 million viewers on Fox. It's the highest rating and viewership for the event, which had kicked off from Daytona, you know, typically in the past. But the ratings were up 168% from last year's Clash, which, of course, was on FS1. This was on Big Fox. It's the most viewers to watch the Clash since 2016, which was the last time it was on Big Fox. And the four qualifying heat races earned 2.564 million viewers. So you even had people view, you know, tuning into that. That's going up against the Pro Bowl. And I was looking on Twitter, and I know Ben Kennedy and Steve O'Donnell were asked about this too, that, you know, this event was trending more than the Pro Bowl. That shows you that it worked, and you're getting 70% of the ticket holders at the LA Coliseum and never been to a NASCAR race. This is how you draw in new fans. But one other thing that I thought was important is the positive feedback that you got from the drivers. And as Steve O'Donnell will tell you, it's because the drivers were having fun.
I think it goes back to what I said, you know, people having fun and getting back to, you know, going out there and racing. And today was what we're all about, really the whole weekend. And if you look at, you know, what the drivers have done for the sport over the off season, really getting out there and help promoting us, it's a big market for us. And it was important for us to come out here and look like we're having fun, even if we weren't. But that wasn't the case, because I think everybody was really enthusiastic, ready to go. They wanted to win this race. And I think that showed. And I think that, you know, high-fiving us is more we're doing the same, because they delivered and put on a great race for us.
I think people don't realize how big that is, that the drivers enjoyed this, because we've seen so many times over the course of the last few years that NASCAR's done something that the drivers haven't liked, that, you know, they've complained about and they've said, you know, hey, we weren't asked about it. What's going on? They obviously had a lot of input on this. iRacing has played a big role in this. And that's another thing that shouldn't go unnoticed. iRacing, the way technology is now, that you can design a racetrack on a video game and then make it be real life. I mean, that's pretty freaking cool. And like I said, they're going to try things that aren't going to work. You know, it's looking more and more like they are going to convert the California Speedway, Fontana, into a half mile short track. I still have my doubts on that. But again, this is something that they're not doing on a whim. They're talking about it. They're researching it. They're talking to the drivers, going to iRacing, all those things. And this is the product that you're getting. And it's just because there's a thirst for short track racing. These guys on a quarter mile. Now, the question is, are they going to do it again? Are they going to do it again at the Coliseum? Are they going to go somewhere else? Ben Kennedy, who this is pretty much his brainchild, or he was the brains behind the whole operation in this, and has done a, you know, tremendous job with the sport. He is obviously the senior vice president of strategic innovation. He is the grandson of Bill France, and he talked about potentially doing it again.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think coming out of today, we're going to go back, do a pretty in-depth postmortem on this event. Certainly, there were a lot of new things that came along with this event, you know, from Pitbull to Ice Cube to DJ Ski, and then everything along with the format and the entire event, really. So I think we'll go back to that and then, you know, really think about what the future might look like, both for, you know, being here at the LA Coliseum and then just the type of venue in general too. You know, I think there are a lot of questions coming in as to what the racing product might look like on track. And I think between the format that we had with the heat races, last chance race, and then all the way through the main, at least from a fan perspective, a lot of energy in the bowl, and hopefully those tuning in on TV enjoyed it as well.
They'll research it. They'll look at it. I did like the format. I thought having the heats and then couple of the last chance races, you know, the last chance races were probably the, you know, the most exciting from a beating and banging standpoint. Had, you know, some too many cautions at times, but That's kind of what you were going to get of these guys trying to make the show, and it showed you that they wanted to make the show. I mean, if the drivers weren't having fun, that would have been those would have been boring races, but they were going for it. They were trying to make this thing and put on a good show for the fans. So that I think was a positive. So will they do it again? I believe they will. I think going back to the Coliseum would be the right move. I wouldn't be against going to some other venues, but you know, it's got to be the right fit. I think LA is a market that they're trying to tap into. Fontana is outside of LA. So actually going into Los Angeles, I thought Ice Cube did a great job. That was cool having him involved. Obviously Pitbull's a team owner now. It's just showing you the diversity in the sport, that you're bringing in new people. You know, we've talked to Bernard Pollard, former Titan safety, several times. He's a huge NASCAR fan now. I would imagine he's going to be in Daytona. He was at the Ally 400. He was at the Clash. He was at the 24 Hours, but he's been to a ton of these races, and now he's a huge fan. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get new fans, and this is what you can do. But at the same time, you want to bring in new fans, but you want to appeal to the true racing fan as well. So you want to have a good product on the track, and I thought that they had that too, and so did Kyle Busch.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the driver's seat, so I don't really know what it looked like visually outside, but seemed to be all right. Some of the restarts were a little bit bumpy getting through one and two, you know, but once you could kind of get a few inches here or there, then you could get a little separation and start racing again. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, it was pretty good. I was kind of shocked there with 35 to go. It didn't turn into a cluster, but guys did a good job, kept their head on, and we just raced it out, so that was good.
It didn't turn into a cluster. How much of that is the new car, though? Which is good. That's what you want. You know, I don't want to see a wreck fest. I don't want to see a caution, you know, every other lap. And they weren't spinning out and all of that. So he's mentioned that he didn't think the old car would work on this. And I tend to agree with him. I mean, that's what they're going to get with this new car. The more they learn about it, they're going to be able to do more with it. More road courses, more short tracks, have better racing from that standpoint, and I think that is exactly what they're looking for, and that can lead into what Ben Kennedy kept being asked about, of not only doing it again, but trying to do different concepts at other venues other than the Coliseum, or, you know, venues that we've seen on the circuit.
You know, I think as far as venues go, and I talked to Kevin in the elevator yesterday, and he was talking about that. I think it does open the opportunity and door to do that. I think it's going to be really important as we think about those venues, the size of it. And I think, you know, the Coliseum was a perfect footprint as you think about the size of the field itself. I don't know that we want to make the radiuses of the corners that much tighter. I think you'd probably play with the straightaway length a little bit. But I think that'll be an important factor because, you know, if we are going to take this to other locations, we want to make sure that the racing product is good for our fans.
I've been one of those people that has been saying, you know, let's build some new short tracks and things like that. You know, they're going to hopefully renovate the fairgrounds here in Nashville. They're going to renovate and reopen North Wilkesboro, which they totally need to do both of those things. But I also, and this goes into even with a stadium like this, find venues that are already there that will work. You know, Bowman Gray would be amazing. I would love to see an exhibition race at Bowman Gray. It just doesn't hold a lot of people. From a history standpoint, it would be so cool to do. But, you know, Austin Dillon had thrown out Jerry's World in Dallas. You know, could you do it there and do some sort of a event there? You know, and that's a retractable roof, but it'll kind of give you a Chili Bowl type feel and something like that. I think that the sky's the limit on exactly what they can do because the industry learns so much. And Austin Dillon was asked about that, of what he thought the industry learned from this.
I think as an industry, I think the biggest thing we learned is that we can accomplish things that sometimes we would doubt or like, that isn't going to work. Just try not to keep an open mind as a sport. And it's nice to see that, you know, fresh new outtake. I think Ben Kennedy did a great job kind of starting this thing and development. I feel like he gets some of the credit for that for sure. But the entire sport putting in the effort, the marketing, everything that went into this, I think it was just a huge success, and I think we can do more of these. It was fun for all the drivers, not having to worry about points as much, just come out. I mean,
I think you could sprinkle some exhibition races. Now, our schedule is pretty crazy, but, you know, maybe we take a couple points race out and go do this for fun.
I'm curious of what that would look like if they dropped some points races and did more of these exhibition type deals. He was, you know, later on asked about, could the All-Star race work with a format like this? And he said, yes. I mean, Kyle Busch agreed with that. You know, the All-Star format, I think, has been stale for a long time. They've tried to move it around, but I loved it a few years ago at Bristol. You know, it just has that short track feel. And the fact that the industry is realizing, hey, we got to go back to our roots. We got to go back to the short tracks. I think there's a place for the mile and a halves. There's obviously a place for the super speedways in Daytona and Talladega. There's a place for the road courses. But this sport was built on short tracks, and those are exciting. And when there's a friend of mine that's like, you know, I've never been to a race. I need to go check it out. You know what I'm telling him? Cool, we're going to Bristol. I'm going to take you to Bristol. That's where we'll go. I'm going to take you to a short track. That's how I cut my teeth out at the fairgrounds and Bristol. And I just think that that's what people should do. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Austin Cindric. He is the driver of the number two for Roger Penske, a rookie here in the Cup Series. He's going to join us up next here on Chasing Checkers, presented by Social Furniture. Shop local, shop social on Charlotte Avenue here on ESPN 1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
If you missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
And welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe, as promised, and it's all brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue. Shop local, shop social. As promised, we say hello to Austin Cindric. He's the driver of the number two Penske Ford, a rookie in the Cup Series. Kind of hard to believe. He's run a few Cup races, but I saw you at Phoenix fighting for an Xfinity Championship, and now I'm going to see you in a few weeks at Daytona, going for your first 500 win. How excited are you? You were there last year. You ran the 500 last year. But now that you know you're running the full season, what's it feel like?
Yeah, that feels great. Obviously, a great opportunity for me. Rookie season, driving the two car, there's a lot to look forward to. And I think this time at Daytona, I've got a little more time to enjoy the experience. You know, last year I was doing double duty. I had to race my way in. Which we barely did that. Then I won the Xfinity race and was very busy. And then after all of it, we ended up in a ball of fire by the end of the 500. But no, it's definitely exciting and looking forward to going back.
Yeah, and I can remember that last year. I mean, you had a pretty good car. Now, obviously, that car is not going to be used. So how what's been the learning curve for you with the new car, with the next gen car?
Yeah, obviously the next gen, it's probably one of the biggest changes we've had as an industry, not just the race cars, but kind of the infrastructure of, you know, the race team and what that looks like and how we work throughout the race shop. But it's certainly been a change throughout the off season. We've spent a lot of time testing with NASCAR, understanding the car, understanding, you know, what the differences are going to be. But I think when it comes to the Daytona 500 and a lot of the races this year, I think the races are going to be really similar, what the fans are watching and what NASCAR fans really love. You know, I think it's going to be a back race. I think there's going to be plenty of action, plenty of lead changes. You know, this car seems to be really easy to generate runs, but also lose momentum at the same time. So I think that should make things pretty exciting.
Austin Cindric is with us. And Austin, you've worked your way up, you know, through the ranks to get to the Cup Series, but you've also had a lot of good people to be able to lean on in your career. Brad Keselowski leaves, goes to Roush to be a part owner. You take that car. What have you learned from guys like Brad, like Joey, like Blaney that you've worked with over the years there at Penske?
Yeah, I've obviously had three really great, not just teammates, but gauges, you know, in my career, as far as, you know, being able to observe, you know, guys like Brad, Joey, and Ryan. And obviously I've raced, you know, Brad's been team owner for me racing in the Truck Series. So there's obviously more of that relationship, but you know, having Joey and Ryan along for my rookie season and those guys, I expect those guys to contend for a championship this year. And not that I don't expect the same for myself, but understanding what my strengths and weaknesses are. And I think the best opportunity you can have as a driver, not just to have really good equipment and really good, you know, race team, but also have teammates that can really push you and keep you open-minded and really push the limits of what's possible. I think that helps to move everyone forward. So I know there's certainly going to be things that are going to make my rookie season challenging. I'm definitely not saying that that's going to be challenging, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to racing with those guys.
How hard of a balance is that, Austin? Because you just said that. Obviously, you get in a race car to go win. That's what you're paid to do. You want to go win races. You want to win championships. But you are a rookie in the Cup Series. We've seen over the last few years of, you know, guys that have come in that have won a ton in the trucks and the Xfinity, there is more of a learning curve. I mean, it just takes a while to get to that point. So how do you temper those expectations to know that you have to learn and you have to earn your stripes, so to speak, but also be competitive week in and week out?
Yeah, I think I have to continually remind myself to be patient, you know, along those lines. You know, obviously I expect to be, you know, I expect a lot of myself. I'm a very internally motivated person, so I'm usually my biggest critic. But at the same time, I think throughout the learning process, and whether that's learning your competitors, learning this new car, learning the process, learning what it takes to race against the best guys who've been doing this for decades and being successful at it, I think you can't find yourself in a position where you're not absorbing everything that's happening around you. And sometimes it's very easy to do that. And sometimes it's easy to rush yourself. So I'm looking forward to that opportunity. I think I'll try and keep myself measured in that approach. But at the same time, to your point, it is a balance, because I want it all and I want it now. And, you know, the sooner I can do that, the sooner I'll be happier. But otherwise, it's an awesome opportunity. And I'm just looking forward to getting started. You know, that's the fun part. The doing is the fun part. I've done enough talking and speculating and thinking. It's about that time to go do it.
Okay, well, you did kind of get started. I know that the Clash didn't go the way that you wanted it to go, but it was certainly a unique event, and we were talking off air about it a little bit. But, you know, the quarter mile, which, you know, some of you guys grew up on and some of you didn't, and they pack you into a stadium. From a television standpoint, I didn't get to go. It looked really cool. What was it like from the driver's seat?
No, the event itself was really well promoted and really well put on, and it was a lot of fun to see the excitement for that. To your point, I haven't raced on a quarter mile short track since I was 13 years old. So I'd also say that I haven't been spun out three times in a single race, probably ever. So that just wasn't going to be my day, but I guess that's what I get for not qualifying well, and probably found some speed a little too late in the game. But nonetheless, definitely really tight racetrack, definitely really narrow, really, really easy to run into people when you didn't even want to. And I feel like it made some of those last chance qualifier races extremely desperate. But the finish of the main event was really cool. Seeing Joey win was really cool. And obviously it's been a really awesome 36 hours, you know, span for him and his family. So it's great to get a Penske car in victory lane at least. And I just wish I was part of it instead of watching it from the grandstands there. But it was a wild event, and you know, pretty cool to be able to put it on and be part of it.
Yeah, no doubt. Austin Cindric with us. I mentioned that I was in Phoenix, and I watched the end of the Xfinity race and how exciting that was. But one thing that really stood out to me with you is you sat there in the media room, obviously disappointed that you didn't win the championship, but you and AJ Allmendinger were just giving each other a hard time and picking on each other. I could tell that you two have a really good relationship. Obviously, he's a former Penske guy. How much has he kind of meant to you, and what have you learned from him racing against him in the Xfinity series the last few years?
I think AJ and I probably couldn't be two more different people in the race car and outside of the race car. And he and I get along really well off the track, and you know, I think we're both really competitive and both, you know, push each other quite hard. And obviously you got to see that, and race fans got to enjoy that throughout the season. In a lot of situations, I'll miss racing him on a week to week basis. In some situations, I won't miss him. But no, I love AJ, and you can always count on him driving 100% every single lap. And I would say that's probably the one thing we do have in common, because, you know, that's the only way you can be successful. So I really enjoyed last year racing with him, and you know, the races we were able to put on and how far we pushed each other.
How critical will the extra seat time, practice, qualifying, the duels, all of those things be for you with this new car for the Daytona 500?
every lap is a lesson. So, you know, the quicker you can learn, the more you can understand about the next gen car before the next guy, I think it's going to be important in being able to be adaptable and open-minded, you know, even throughout the race. You know, everyone's going to be learning their stuff probably more than ever throughout the race. So having that communication on how to do that, and I think it's going to pay a lot of dividends, you know, by the end of 500 miles.
Well, Austin, it's been fun to talk to you. I appreciate the time, and we'll see you in Daytona. Best of luck.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
And that's rookie Austin Cendrick joining us here on Chasing Checkers. Look forward to seeing what he's going to do in his rookie year, because a very talented race car driver, did a lot of winning in the Xfinity Series, and we saw him in a handful of races last year. You know, he performed well at the super speedways, on the road courses, so we'll see how that translates to the new car, because you heard him say it there, that there's a learning curve. It's very different, and all the drivers are going to be experiencing that. But speaking of, the new car will make its debut at the Daytona International Speedway. They did some testing there, but obviously getting ready for the Daytona 500. We will start the preview for the Great American Race when we return here on Chasing Checkers, presented by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue. Shop local, shop social on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on The Game Nashville app as always. You can check us out on demand. Just search for Chasing Checkers in iTunes, in Google, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on demand at thegamenashville.com and chasingcheckersradio.com as well. A reminder, we will be live from the Daytona International Speedway next week. I will have reaction from the duels. I'll be there. We'll be doing shows on Friday as a part of Darren Donick and Chase, with coverage from the Speedway, a special two-hour edition of Chasing Checkers on Saturday from 9 to 11, and on Sunday from 8 until 10. So really looking forward to being down there for the Great American Race, and we're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. But something else that I wanted to get to, kind of in relation to the Clash and drivers having fun and everything as we put a bow on all of this, is I've talked about, and I talked about it last week, the relationship between the drivers in NASCAR and them leaning on each other. Obviously, it's gotten contentious at times, and there were times last year that it got contentious, especially around Atlanta. And I think it's important for them to fix that. Denny Hamlin has been very outspoken on having a seat at the table for the drivers. He obviously sees it differently now, being a team owner as well. But something that happened this week that we've seen these things before, but I'm curious to see how it works now, is the drivers have formed an advisory council. Jeff Burton, who's a former driver now with NBC, has been named the director of the advisory council, which should surprise nobody. The mayor, he was the mayor of the garage, essentially. So he will be a part of it. It's comprised of former and current Cup competitors. They're going to work alongside key stakeholders within the industry to collectively move the sport forward and construct positive change. So the board of directors is going to consist of Kurt Busch, Austin Dillon, Denny Hamlin, Corey LaJoie, Joey Logano, Kyle Petty, and Daniel Suarez. And Hamlin is quoted in saying, as a current driver and also a team owner, I now see things from a different perspective, and that has made me appreciate the importance of collaboration across the industry. The new council will deliver a unified, collective voice from the drivers to help address any challenges we face and help accomplish the common goals the industry shares. I think this is a good move, and I hope that it has more of an effect than what they've had in the past. I mean, they have the Race Team Alliance now, which I think is important from that side of the car owners. But, you know, having this these drivers and former drivers get together with, you know, and form this coalition, I think is a really, really important thing. So I hope to see it work and do things for the sport for the future, because I think that the drivers in NASCAR have worked better together, especially this offseason. In fact, Steve O'Donnell was asked about that, as was Ben Kennedy, after the Busch Clash, and here's what they said on it.
You know, Jeff, I think part of it started actually during the offseason. And you look at the rules package we had that I know was unpopular to some, but to a lot of our fans was popular. And so that was a difference kind of between NASCAR and the drivers. And it was tough, you know, at times. And I think the process we went through with the drivers and the industry on this new rules package, working together and landing where we did, there was a real trust factor built in, even prior to, hey, we're going to the Coliseum and, you know, hopefully you guys have a good time, that they were all in and they understand the importance of the next gen car and feel like they're a part of it, for the first time, which I think is unique. I'm not going to promise, you know, as we get through, some races, but really do feel like we've got a much better relationship in terms of, you know, listening, but also having an understanding when we do make a certain decision, there is some reason behind it. And because we went left and you wanted to go right doesn't mean we didn't listen. It just is, you know, there's some reasons we did it. But they're a big part of this event too. I think a lot of them, you know, worked with Ben in terms of what the format should be, how we should do it, and that was a great result. I don't know if you want to talk about who you talked to, just, you know, with Kurt Busch and other folks factoring in. And
yeah, I think the collaboration across the entire industry was phenomenal. Working with both the industry and then Fox, just in even creating the format itself. We played with a handful of different formats and really a true partnership and collaboration across the board. And then to Steve's point, have talked to a handful of drivers and have had them reach out to just with feedback about the course. A few of them jumped on iRacing, got their perspective on it, even down to the rumble strips that we had in the corners too. The rumble strips, the painting that we had on the apron, a lot of that came from the drivers. So super helpful to have that feedback. And I think the collaboration there's probably better than it's been in a long time.
The fact of the matter is they have to work together. And this is an important time for them. I've said it multiple times. They got to work together on the car, on the schedule, on the tracks, all of those things, because NASCAR is the one running it, but the drivers are the ones running it. I mean, they're running the races, so they have to be on the same page. And it feels like, at least for now, they're getting back on the same page. Are they always going to agree on everything? No. I mean, listen, I've taken a new role as program director here at ESPN 102.5 The Game, and some decisions I make, my people may not always agree with them, but they understand them, and vice versa. I mean, that's just how this works. But there's an open dialogue, and there should be an open dialogue between the two sides to make this sport the best that it possibly can be. So I look forward to that. As for next weekend, the Daytona 500, what to expect. The new car is obviously going to be on the minds of everybody. It's not a quarter mile. It's a 2.5 mile. And what is that new car going to do around the high banks of the Daytona International Speedway? Dale Earnhardt Jr. did a test at Daytona about a month or so ago for Hendrick Motorsports. And it was his first time in the car at Daytona. He had driven it at Bowman Gray. But he gave more of an insight of what to expect from racing around Daytona.
Here at Daytona, so I never drove the cars with the big spoiler on the back. I don't think that I've ever ran the cars with that size of a rear spoiler. So I was pretty taken aback yesterday while we were drafting just how much drag is on the car. The cars don't really produce runs like I was anticipating or like I was expecting. In years past, or in the 20 years or so that I raced here at Daytona, you could develop some momentum or get a run or create a run, whether it was off the energy of a car behind you or whatever it was, and that run would maybe last a half a lap. That momentum or speed or extra boost might last more than half a lap. But whatever however long it lasted, it gave you this ability to like, okay, I'm going to make a move with this. This is some good momentum, and I'm going to take this, and I'm going to side draft a couple cars and continue that, you know, momentum and use it to pass. And I don't know if I feel like that with as much drag as these cars have, that they create that type of opportunity. You just sort of are stuck where you're at. And there's no, I didn't feel like when I was out there in the pack that I was able to develop a run in the traditional sense. You're kind of just there. And I think the only real way that I saw guys making anything happen for themselves was to put people three wide and which I think that's kind of how this Daytona 500 is going to look. You're going to see side-by-side, double file, until guys are tired of doing that, and then they're going to be three wide. And I think at the end of the race, it'll be tons of three wide. But there's so much drag on these cars. I was really surprised at how much drag is on the car.
So I know they have done some tweaks since that test. They've worked with the drivers on it. You know, obviously it's a little bit different for him as somebody that doesn't do it every week anymore, but he obviously was very good around that place. So him providing that type of feedback to other drivers to NASCAR, I think, is beneficial. But it's going to be interesting to see. I would say don't go into it thinking, oh, I'm going to see the best Daytona 500 ever. I think you should temper expectations, know that there's a lot of unknown, and let's see how it plays out. Now, at the same time, it's still Daytona, so my guess is you're going to see a big one. You're going to see some of these new cars get tore up, that you're going to see somebody try to make a move that isn't there, or try and make the car do something that it can't do. That comes with running Daytona. But that's why I'm excited to be down there starting with the duels, to really see what it's going to do in the draft and in racing conditions. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. But that's going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. Remember, you can go online, chasingcheckersradio.com, thegamenashville.com, listen to past shows. Plus, we're going to have a ton of special content coming from Daytona next week, some things that you might not even hear on the air. So stay tuned for all of that. We'll be live from Daytona next week, starting on Friday with Darren Donick and Chase at 10, and then 9 to 11 on Saturday, 8 to 10 on Sunday, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, The Game Nashville app.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.